Thank you, Vishu. And Sairam, all listeners of Radio Sai, and welcome to yet another episode of Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. This is a weekly series wherein we study Swami's discourses. We try to play small parts of Swami's discourses and then reflect upon the beautiful message which Swami gives therein. This is Prem from Team Radio Sai, dear listeners. And as always, I'm being joined to co-host this show by Brother Sai Prakash. Along with both of us, we have another special guest to be a part of this program, and he's no stranger to the listeners of Radio Sai. I join you all in welcoming Brother Sai Giridhar from the Sri Satya Sai Institute of High Learning. He's a research scholar in the Department of Chemistry. He's going to be joining us, and for one special reason, but I'll leave that for a little later. As of now, we begin by offering our most humble pranams at Bhagavan's lotus feet, thanking him for this opportunity and praying that he speaks to all of us. Sairam Sai Prakash and Sairam Sai Giridhar.
Sairam Prem.
You know, ever since man started thinking, I think he's been wondering about the mind. Almost every civilization has its own account of how they've endeavored to understand the mind. It's quite a fascinating subject, to say the least.
It is definitely fascinating. I remember some of my brothers had put up a drama way back in the year 2005 on the vagaries of the mind.
Oh, okay.
And one of the actors, while he was telling this dialogue, he just mentioned this in a very animated way. He said, what is this mind really, you know? Every time I try to catch it, it is just like the breeze. It gets away from my hands. And the moment he made this statement, we were all so pleasantly surprised to see Swami have a hearty laugh at that statement. You know, the mind is like a breeze, you can never catch hold of it.
Very beautiful.
Very true. And there's little doubt that the mind and the study of the mind is so important, because in this series itself, Swami has devoted two discourses to the study of the mind. And this is the second one in that. And, you know, it's endless how much can be spoken about it. And Swami is putting it so beautifully. The first discourse on the mind was explaining why mind is important. And, you know, the very oft repeated statement of Swami, Manayeva Karanam, you know,
Bandha Mokshayo.
And that's why it's important. It can bind as well as it can liberate. He spoke about that. And now coming to, we are not interested in the negative aspects of the mind, how to use it for progress. So I think this discourse is all about that, giving us the things that mind can do to unsettle you, to give you that knowledge so that we can use it for progress and we can use it for liberation. Would you like to say anything about the first few parts of this discourse? We've gone through two parts, I believe.
I think we summarized that even in the last episode.
Right.
Swami starts off by saying the whole universe is like a reflection in the mirror. And the mind, in a way, also, he's comparing the mind to the mirror. But in many ways, the mind is like the mirror, because, you know, the chitta that we are talking of and the memories that get reflected. And Swami says everything is reflection, reaction, resound. And those memories are stored in the mirror. In a sense, when you look into the mirror, you see yourself. But this is the subtler mirror, I would say. The mind is like a subtle mirror where you don't see your own reflection, but all the chitta or accumulated memories of yours are reflected back from the mind. So that's how Swami is comparing the mind to a mirror. And he goes on to say that more than achieving the four purusharthas, dharma, artha, kama, moksha, the final annihilation of antakaranas are the most important.
In fact, this is a very beautiful point. I remember from Nisargadatta Maharaj's book, I Am That, he speaks about how actually the chitta plays a role in our life and in our understanding. He says it's like the Atman is like the light, projector light, and the chitta is like rolls and rolls of movies going on. And when this projection goes through the film of the chitta, it throws up characters in your mind, and those characters are thoughts, basically. So the entire endeavor is simply about, you know, cleaning these rolls up. So if you don't have any film in between, the projector's light is going to be directly on the mind, and there are no alien characters or unknown characters coming up there. So the whole endeavor, the spiritual process, is about chitta shuddhi, as Swami beautifully puts it. And during the last discussion, I remember sir also mentioning about Bhagwan being chitta chora.
Correct.
In fact, that reminds me of a beautiful experience of one of our brothers in Kodaikanal. He was in Kodaikanal, but he was totally out of form in Kodaikanal. So what happened was, one session Swami was coming from the dining room into the hall where he, you know, assembles all the students and speaks to them. There this boy was having a camera, and because he was out of form, very secretively he was you know, holding the camera and taking Swami's photographs. But Swami noticed that, and Swami took a very stern you know, stance, and then said, "Hey, camera chore, camera chore," you know, indicating that you are capturing my photographs into the camera without my permission.
Correct.
In a sense, because the boy was out of form at that point of time, he thought, you know, the next thing would be he'll have to pack his bags and move out. And he was really shivering. And at that point of time, you know, Swami, slowly a smile bursts in on his face, and to everybody's relief at that point, in fact, it is very interesting to know what that boy was thinking. He shared it with us, and he says that he was worried that has he spoiled the mood of Bhagwan. You know, if he has spoiled the mood of Bhagwan, all the other brothers around him will miss the opportunity of having a lovely session with Swami. You know, he had such beautiful, noble thought inside, and he was with this prayer that, "Swami, forgive me if I've done a mistake, but I don't want to spoil your mood." You know, that is when this smile bursts on Swami's face, and Swami looks at him and says, "See, you are camera chore, but I am chitta chore."
Beautiful.
So it's like that. And one other impression I got from listening to the couple of episodes previous to this, is what is this spiritual process really about chitta shuddhi? Is how do we go about? How does a simple sadhaka who doesn't want too much complication of intellectuality into it, how do I understand the process of chitta shuddhi? Swami makes it very, very simple. He says it's a four-step process. Interestingly, there was also mention about the Manasarovar, you know, mind being the Manasarovar. We did an exercise in the awareness class back in the college, where we put this question to us, to the students. If we have a dirty, muddy pool of water, and, you know, we put a picture of that on one side, we put the picture of Kailash Manasarovar on the other side, and asked the students, if you are to convert the muddy pool of water, the dirty pool of water, into Manasarovar, what do you really do? And, you know, the boys were brilliant. They came up with the solution. The four-step solution which Swami gives to clean up the muddy pool of water with lot of turbulence and all that into an absolutely placid, crystal clear water of Manasarovar, where you can see what is within very clearly, you know, is the four-step process of Tyaja Durjana Sansargam, Bhaja Sadhu Samagamam, Kuru Punyam Ahoratram, and Smaranitya Anityatam. How do we understand this in our day-to-day life? And, you know, based on Swami's teachings, and interestingly, as Sai Prakash brother mentioned, every time students or teachers would go up to Swami and say, "Swami, what sadhana do we do?" Swami would simply say, "Simply follow the instructions I have given." Or more precisely, Swami would say that, you know, the hostel rules and regulations have been designed by me. So just follow the hostel rules and regulations and go through the schedule that I have personally given you. That is more than enough. You know, it is such a beautiful reassurance for all of us that we don't have to do anything more than that. And this four-step process of Tyaja Durjana Sansargam makes it very clear as to how this helps in chitta shuddhi. The premise behind this spiritual process is that we are already divine.
Correct.
Okay. Like Prakash brother mentioned, we are not human beings trying to have, you know, a divine experience. We are actually divine beings in a human experience.
Correct.
And Swami has always said, you know, Divyatma Swarupallara, just to indicate that we are already divine. The only factor is, you know, or the factors are these mala vikshepa and avarna, or the dirt which has accumulated over births together, which prevents us from seeing the light within. Swami gives the analogy of the agarbati, the incense stick. And he says, you know, you have a beautiful fragrance coming from the incense stick, but you see that over time, you can't see the flame that is there inside because of the deposit of the ash around it.
Right.
Slowly and steadily, if you just start blowing away the ash, you will start seeing small little sparks, and finally when all the ash is out, you will see the burning amber within, that is the burning incense stick within. So Swami says, in the same way, the light is already there. You don't have to become the light. You already are the light. But it is just that this dust and, you know, this kind of an ash which is covering that light has to be removed. So that is the basic premise of the spiritual process of Chitta Shuddhi. And coming to the process itself, the first step, of course, is, you know, when you have a dirty pool of water, you don't want to be adding further muck or dirt into it if you want to clean the pond.
Correct.
Right? So, Tyaja Durjana Samsargam basically translates to avoid bad company in most simple terms. Which means you don't add any more unwanted or, you know, junk material, if I may, if I can use that word, into our lives, into our chitta. So, first we need to stop the input of the negative tendencies, the negative visuals, the negative words that we hear, and all such bad energies. First we need to stop the inflow of that.
Correct.
The second step is bhaja sadhu samagamam. Swami says it's not enough if you prevent the inflow of bad inputs through the five senses. It is also important to have good inputs going, because the mind, you know, Swami compares it to a genie. Prakash brother, do you remember the genie story of, of Swami?
Means he says that unless you give it work.
Exactly.
It's like a genie that comes out from the magic cup.
Yes.
But unless you keep it engaged, it's going to eat you up.
It's going to eat you.
It comes to the premise that it'll do anything which you ask it to do, but if it has nothing to do, it'll come and eat you.
It'll come and eat you. Precisely that. So if you're not going to give it any input also, it is going to get restless. So that's why Swami says, give it input, but give it noble input.
Correct.
You know, sacred inputs, divine inputs. So that is bhaja sadhu samagamam. Swami says, be in the company of good people, God-loving people. Be in the company of Sai literature. Be in the company of bhajans and satsang. So this kind of an input, why? Be in the company of doing your work well, wherever you work. Make it an offering to God. So by engaging yourself in the service to society through your work, by engaging yourself in good activities, by following Swami's teachings throughout the day in some way or the other, in whichever way we can, and by avoiding bad company, basically bhaja sadhu samagamam happens. So we are having good water flowing into us. We are not allowing muck to enter us. The third step is the most important step, Swami says.
Kuru
punyam ahoratram, which means do sacred activities, noble activities, day and night. And Swami says, it is these activities of seva that we participate in. You know, seva doesn't really mean going to the village. One might say, how do I all the time go to a village and serve the people there day and night? I have my own profession to take care. No, Swami says that seva can happen in the most simple ways. A good word, a comforting word to somebody who is in a distress is seva. You know, to lift the spirits of somebody is seva. To do your own duty perfectly well, you know, itself is seva, Swami says. So by offering all these activities to Bhagwan, we can elevate even the most simple and mundane activities to the heights of seva. So Swami says, Kuru Punyam Ahoratam. This way, from morning to night, if you do sacred activities by offering it to Bhagwan, then the inner impurities start getting cleansed slowly, right? So we are not allowing the bad inputs in, we are taking in good inputs. What muck is already there inside, we are cleaning it up through the process of seva. Mm. Right? And the most important aspect there is the last part, which is smara nitya anityatam. Mm. This comes at two levels basically. The most simple understanding of smara nitya anityatam is to discriminate between good and bad. Even though we think, we are seeing, you know, this typically happens with the youngsters. They would say, see, I am watching a movie, I am only picking the morals from the movie, right? But then, as an individual, you know for yourself.
Nitya anityatam is more like temporary and permanent.
Understanding of it. The more simple, base level understanding of smara nitya anityatam is to be able to discriminate between what gives you temporary happiness and what gives you permanent joy or bliss.
Right.
And it can happen in very small activities, even in bhajasadhu samagam, that is in participating in activities that are noble, that are sacred. Sometimes, the young mind, the monkey mind, the drunken monkey mind, stung by the scorpion, sometimes behave like this and say, I'm watching this movie so that I pick only that which is good. But if you exercise discrimination to observe yourself, you will know if only good has got into you or there is something else also that has got into you. You will know by the thoughts, kind of thoughts that you have eventually after the movie show or for the next couple of days.
Right? Or even better if you are seeing serials on television.
Oh yes.
You don't have to talk about it. Movies are way better than serials on television.
Absolutely.
And somebody is going through some fictional story and they are going through, and then we start getting involved, we start crying, we start unnecessarily going, and then what will happen? Tension, anxiety, and blood pressure goes up.
As if our own problems are not enough. You own the problems of these fictitious characters and your life becomes more miserable that way. So smara nitya anityatam basically at a slightly higher level of understanding is to understand the temporary or the transient nature of the worldly objects, their inability to provide us with that lasting joy that we always aspire for, and look for the nitya, that is what gives us, where is that eternal fountain of joy?
Correct.
To look for that fountain constantly. To make it the vision of our life, to look for that fountain of eternal bliss, unending bliss, that being the most important step of all in this four-step process.
I think another way of looking at that smara nitya nityatam could be, nitya means ever.
Yes. Right? Mm-hmm.
Always think about the unreality of the world. It could be even that smara nitya nityatam. Mm-hmm. Keep ever in your mind the unreality of this world. That's one of the things which Ami says, that we discussed that last week also. The moment you know that what is troubling you is something which is going to go, that very thought actually removes the pain of it. It doesn't remove the problem itself, but removes the repercussions and the mental stress that the problem can bring with it.
This whole concept of this film and the projection is so apt in this case of the mind.
Really?
Like just take the example of the film itself. There are images on it. So basically it's like the film with images, which is like the mind with chitta, with memories and all that. But unless there is the light, you cannot see the projection of it.
Impossible.
And so similarly, the mind doesn't have an illumination of its own. It's the light of the Atma that shines on the mind.
Right.
And that gives you the images.
And actually there's another beautiful adage to it. Sorry to interrupt. There, if you see, I don't know what's the technology right now in films, but earlier, when you have a film developed, till a certain time, that film should not be exposed to light.
Correct.
If it's exposed to light, then it doesn't hold on to that images which you've tried to put on it. I think the chitta is also like that. If it is in a very nascent stage, exposed to the Atman and the idea of the Atman, maybe it'll lose its power to retain those images. And that is what is Chitta Shuddhi all about, where you constantly try to keep the chitta in association with the divine, with the eternal, wherein the chitta loses its ability to actually bind impressions and vasanas and to control you in turn.
No, it's very much like seeing a serial on television. life itself if you think of it that way, our own chittas, our own memories, we are projecting within ourselves, and then that's how we understand the world, through our mind. So you are understanding the world through your mind, which is already colored with your memories and with your understanding. So basically, Swami is just looking at us and saying, oh, everybody is watching their own serial or movie in the world. But this is a very good example to understand, I think, how the mind. I think Swami then goes on to give us three impurities of the mind. That is Mala, Vikshepa and Avarna. I think we completed the portion where Swami spoke about Mala and Vikshepa.
Right. Basically, I think in Mala, Swami spoke about the three aspects, the Patra Shuddhi, Padartha Shuddhi and Pak Shuddhi. Then I think Avarna, Vikshepa, Swami said it is like...
Just for a recollection, Mala is the dirt that accumulates.
Dirt that accumulates on a mirror.
On the mirror. So since he has compared the mirror to the mind, it's like the dirt that accumulates
right.
on
and
the
he
mirror.
He said food plays a very important role in creating that that dirt.
Yes.
And that's when he said about Patra Shuddhi, Padartha Shuddhi in that context. And then Vikshepa, I think it's like the constant wavering nature of the mind.
Yes. True.
If you are looking at a mirror which is constantly shaking, for instance, if you're traveling in a bus or something and you try to look at the mirror, you never get to see
yourself
clearly. And that's what, similar to that, when Swami says that a mirror is constantly shaking, you don't get the right image which you're looking for.
Now, what is Avarna?
Now, coming to the last aspect of that, Avarna. Should we go to that clip and listen to what Swami is saying there?
Avarnamu! Idi emiti avarnamu? What do you mean by Avarna? Addam paina dattamaina battanu kappinappudu andulo manam pratibimbam kanipistunda? When you cover the mirror with a thick cloth, can you get your reflection in the mirror at all? ఏమాత్రము కనిపించదు. సర్టన్లీ నాట్ నథింగ్. కనుకనే మనము చేత మన యొక్క స్వస్వరూపాన్ని మాలిన్యంగా చూస్తున్నాము. We are seeing our own real image. విక్షేపం చేత చంచలత్వంగా మనం విశ్వసిస్తున్నాము. On account of vikshepa, we suffer from unsteadiness. చంచలత్వం నా నేచర్ అనుకుంటున్నాము. We consider unsteadiness as our very nature itself.
నేను హ్యూమన్ బాడీని కనుక దీనికి తగినటువంటి సహజం అనుకుంటున్నాము, సమర్థించుకుంటున్నాము.
We go on defining as a human being, all these are natural for us.
కానీ ఆవరణం చేత నాకు స్వస్వరూపం లేదు, నా దేహమే నా స్వస్వరూపం అని విశ్వసిస్తున్నాము.
On account of the impact of avarana, we feel that we do not have any other thing excepting our body. And
మనం చూచేది, అనుభవించేది, ఆనందించేది ఇవన్నీ కూడా రిఫ్లెక్షన్, రియాక్షన్, రీసౌండ్.
We are students. Whatever we see, whatever we experience, is merely reflection, reaction, result. But there is one reality.
Aa reality ni marchipothunnam.
But we are forgetting that reality.
Reaction anusaristunnamu.
We are following reaction.
Result ni vintunnamu.
We are hearing result.
Reflection ni chustunnamu.
We are seeing reflection.
Kaani daniki okati aadharam anipidi undadani kontha varaku nu gurtinchali.
But it is necessary to recognize that there is a basis for all this reaction, resound and reflection.
Idi cover kavatamu ee addamu dattamaina battato muyabadindante ye dattamaina battam idi.
If the mirror is covered by a thick cloth, what is that cloth?
Adi kama krodha lobha moha madamatsalyam nanti ee arishad vargam.
That is the six enemies of man, starting from desire.
ఇవి కొంతవరకు మానవుని యొక్క దేహములకు సహజమునే అయినప్పటికీ
దిస్ మే బి నేచురల్ ఫర్ హ్యూమన్ బాడీ.
ధనమదం, విద్యామదం, కులమదం, ఐశ్వర్యమదం, సౌందర్యమదం, యవ్వనమదం, తపస్మదం, ఇలాంటి మదములు, అష్ట మదముల చేత కప్పబడి ఉంటుండాలి ఈ అద్దం.
దిస్ మిరర్ ఈజ్ కవర్డ్ బై ద ప్రైడ్ అండ్ కన్సీట్ ఆఫ్ wealth, education, caste and beauty.
Dhanam enta varaku untundi?
For how long does this wealth last?
Kadili pothundi kalikinda neeru kadili poyinattuga ee kshanamulo pothundo cheppadaniki veelu kaadu.
It is highly slippery and it is a passing cloud.
Mana yavvanamu enta sepu untundi? Minchu minchinattuga okka nimisham lopala maaripothundi.
Even our beauty, like a flash or a lightning, it disappears.
Mana vidya madam, emiti vidya yokka madam.
What is the education after all the pride arising out of that?
Meekante goppa vidyavantulu lokamlo entha mandi leru?
How many more people are there who are better educated than you?
Kanaku varini vicharan chesthe nee vidya vari yokka deento entha sthayiki?
Compare it to them, what is after all your accomplishment?
Ivanni vicharan chesthe madamunuku mana chota e matram kuda avakasam ledu.
If you go on thinking on these lines,
idi kevalam
bhramti,
bhrama.
It is only a type of delusion.
Chaduvulanniyu chadivi chaala vivekiyai magidi tannerugadu mandamathudu.
After having studied all types of education, the stupid person does not know who he really is.
Enta chaduvu chadivi ye neeti unnanu heenuni gunammu manaledu.
Whatever education you have acquired, if you are a mean fellow, you do not give up your mean quality.
Tarachi chaduvu chaduva tarkavadame kani poorna gnanam eppudu pondaledu.
If you go on reflecting, mere education leads to argumentation.
Chaduvu chaduvu chadivi chavandaneetiki chavuleni chaduvu chaduvu aneyunnaru.
What is the use of this kind of education? You should study such education which will be confer liberation on you.
చదువులు నేర్చితనంచు గర్వము వహించం రాదు.
డూ నాట్ బి ప్రౌడ్ దట్ యు ఆర్ ఎడ్యుకేటెడ్.
నీకున్న చదువు ఈ పేట ఏ పాటది?
వాట్ ఈస్ ద టైప్ ఆఫ్ ఎడ్యుకేషన్?
విద్యకు వినయమే సత్వరూపం.
ఒబీడియన్స్ అండ్ హ్యూమిలిటీ
వినయం విద్యార్థులయందు.
And that humility will be found in the school.
Vinaya vidhetanu lekapovatam chetane madamu talakekkutundali.
As there is no humility and obedience, this pride is entering into the head of
ee dhanamadamu vidyamadamu yavanamadamu ee yokka madamulu cheta manavattu kevalam marchipothunnadu.
Man is forgetting his real human nature itself on account of the pride of wealth, pride of
youth. Kramakramena manavattvanni marugu parichetunti yokka dushtagunamule tappa idi manavattvanni viksimpa chesetunti pavitra gunamulu kaavu.
All these qualities are making man forget his real human nature.
ధనమెచ్చిన మదమెచ్చును మదమెచ్చిన దుర్గుణంబు మానక ఎచ్చును ధనముడిగిన మదముడుగును మదముడిగిన దుర్గుణంబు మానును అయ్యా. ఆ దుర్గుణము పోవాలంటే మదం పోవాలి.
If there is increase in the wealth, it leads to increase in pride, and that leads to various bad qualities. If
ఈ విధమైనటువంటి మదములే మన మనస్సు అనేటువంటి అద్దమును కప్పిపుచ్చింది.
ఇట్ ఈస్ దీస్ కైండ్స్ ఆఫ్ ప్రైడ్ అండ్ కన్సీట్ విచ్ కవర్ ద మిర్రర్ ఆఫ్ అవర్ మైండ్ విత్ దిస్ థిక్ క్లాత్.
కనుక ఈ దట్టమైనటువంటి యొక్క బట్టను మనం తీసివేయాలనుకుంటే ప్రేమను పెంచుకోవాలి.
డెవలప్ లవ్ ఇన్ ఆర్డర్ టు రిమూవ్ దిస్ థిక్ క్లాత్.
ఈ ప్రేమనే ప్రధానమైనటువంటిది.
దిస్ లవ్ ఈస్ ద మోస్ట్ ఇంపార్టెంట్ వన్.
అదే ప్రత్యక్ష పరమాత్మ.
దట్ ఈస్ the direct
love of God. Live in love. Manamu ee pavitramainatundi prema chetane sarvurunu manamu okkaga iritiga manam kattukovachunu.
By sacred love you will be able to conquer anything.
Okka prema paasamu cheta tappa andarini aikyamatyanga abhirudhi parichadaniki inka maroka margamu ye matram kodanu levu.
Excepting for the love, there is no way of bringing about cooperation and understanding among people.
దీనికి ఒక చిన్న ఉదాహరణ.
Here is a small example.
అనేకత్వంగా భావిస్తున్నావు.
You think that there is multiplicity.
ఒక కింద ఒక క్యాండిల్ ల్యాంప్ పెట్టేసేసాము.
There is a candle kept below.
దాని పైన అనేక రంధ్రములంతా కొట్టి దాని ఒక పాత్రను మూసినాము. అందువల్ల ఉన్నది ఒకే లైట్ అయినప్పటికీ ఆ రంధ్రముల ద్వారా బయటికి అనేక లైట్లు ఉండేట్టు కనిపిస్తుండాలి.
దెర్ ఇస్ ఓన్లీ వన్ క్యాండిల్ లైట్ ఇన్ సైడ్ ద వెసల్ దట్ పాసెస్ త్రూ ద డిఫరెంట్ హోల్స్ అండ్ లుక్స్ ఆఫ్
దానిపై దట్టమైనటువంటి ఒక వస్త్రము కప్పినాము.
యు హావ్ కవర్డ్ దిస్ వెసల్ బై థిక్ క్లాత్.
కనుకనే అందులో నుంచి ఏ మాత్రం కూడా మనకు లైట్ కనిపించడం లేదు.
యూ హావ్ నాట్ బీన్ ఏబుల్ టు సీ లైట్ అట్ ఆల్ ఆన్ అకౌంట్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ కవరింగ్.
కనుక మొట్టమొదటి ఈ దట్టమైనటువంటి యొక్క టర్కీ టవల్ తీసి పక్కన పెట్టమంటే
యూ రిమూవ్ దిస్ థిక్ టర్కీ టవల్ ఇన్ ది ఫస్ట్ ఇన్స్టెన్స్.
అప్పుడు అనేక జ్యోతులుగా కనిపిస్తుంది.
దెన్ యూ కెన్ సీ ఎ నంబర్ ఆఫ్ లైట్స్.
ఆ యొక్క అనేకంగా కనిపించేటువంటి ఆ పాత్రను మనం పగలగొట్టిందంటే ఒక్క జ్యోతిగానే మనకు కనిపిస్తుంది.
బ్రేక్ దట్ పాట్ అండ్ దెన్ యుల్ ఫైండ్ ఓన్లీ వన్ లైట్,
అదే ఏకజ్యోతి, అదే ఆత్మజ్యోతి, ఉన్నది ఒక్కటే. దానిపైన నవరంధ్రములతో కూడినటువంటి యొక్క ఈ దేహం అనే పాత్రను కప్పినాము కనుక ఇవి అనేక విధంగా కనిపిస్తుంటున్నాయి. ఒక్కొక్క రంధ్రం నుంచి ఒక్కొక్క లైట్ ఉండేటట్టుగా కనిపిస్తుండాలి.
This is the single light, the atmic light. This is covered by the nine, the body which has got nine holes.
ఇది అనేక జ్యోతులు లేవు అక్కడ.
There are no different lights at all.
ఒక్క జ్యోతి.
There is only one light.
కానీ దేహం యొక్క రంధ్రముల ద్వారా ఇవి అనేక జ్యోతులుగా కనిపిస్తున్నాయి.
త్రూ ద హోల్స్ ఆఫ్ ద ఫిజికల్ బాడీ యు సీ డిఫరెంట్.
దీనిపైన మమత్వము అనేటువంటి దట్టమైన వస్త్రాన్ని కప్పిపెట్టాం.
On this particular one, you have covered with a thick cloth of mindness, mamattvam.
Nadi ane mamattamu, nenu ane ahankaramu. Ee rendu thuna inesinatvanti vastram idi.
The two cloths are the ego of I and the possessiveness of mamattva, mind.
Aa rendintini manam teesi paraveste,
you remove I and mind.
Tadwara deham yokka branthinu manam kramakramena అదుపులో పెట్టుకుంటే
ఇఫ్ యూ కెన్ కంట్రోల్ ది బాడీ అది
ఐడెంటిఫికేషన్ బహుశ్యాం ఏకత్వమే అనేకత్వంగా రూపొందుతుంది.
దెన్ యూ కెన్ సీ దట్ వన్ లైట్ హెస్ బికమ్ మెనీ లైట్స్.
ఈవెన్ యాస్ యూ లిసనింగ్ టు దట్ క్లిప్ యు నో ఐ కాన్ హెల్ప్ బట్ సే హౌ ఎవ్రీ టైమ్ యూ లిసన్ టు స్వామీస్ డిస్కోర్స్ యూ టెన్ టు సే దట్ దిస్ ఇస్ ద బెస్ట్ డిస్కోర్స్ ఆఫ్ స్వామి.
And this portion is
that's how beautiful this part is, you know, how succinctly Swami has put I think some of the most complex principles to us in just a couple of analogies, you know, just two or three analogies, and Swami has brought it across so beautifully in this. Then straight away, as we heard that discourse, straight bang on target, Swami starts with what is avarna. And even before that, the beautiful one line, Swami explains what is mala, vikshepa, and in that context, what is avarna. Swami is saying that, you know, mala does not enable us to see the image clearly.
Mm-hmm.
Avarna makes us feel that we are unstable like the image. How beautifully vikshepa. Swami puts it. Vikshepa.
Mm.
Swami said that is the shaking of the mirror.
Mm.
When you see that shaking image, you tend to believe that you are also unstable like that image.
Correct.
And Swami is saying that is not true. And then Swami comes to avarna, which is like a mirror covered with a cloth.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing how Swami brings in the different cloths. I don't know from which mill they were made. Kamakrodha, Lobha, Moha, Mada, Matsarim, and pride. Swami has given so much importance to this topic of pride. He says you are proud about so many things like money, affluence, beauty, youth, and everything is temporary. It's, you know, I just can't help thinking how related it is. Like, pride is trying to keep yourself away from others, trying to show that you are better than others.
Or you're exclusive.
Yeah, you're exclusive. So, Swami always says you are one, and he always harps on unity. So, the moment you try to keep yourself away, that is wrong. And that, in fact, that sentence really, you know, is in my mind. What are bad thoughts? And he says, a bad thought is...
There are only three bad thoughts.
No, no. In this series discourse, Swami said that the thought that makes you think that you are different from others, that is a bad thought.
Fantastic.
So, here, when he's talking about pride, I can't help connect the two, because pride is something where you think you are better than somebody. So you are basically seeing yourself different from others. Unless you think that yes, we are one and there is unity, automatically there you have love.
Yes, in fact that oneness is love itself.
That oneness is love. And then the moment there is oneness and unity, then automatically this avarna of this thick cloth is thrown away.
In fact, Swami through his Chinnakathas has often told us this predicament of though you can be very, very physically close to God, still if you have these qualities, you know, they take you away from the truth, from God straight away. Arjuna is a classic example of this.
Mm-hmm.
In a Chinnakatha which we know, which titles like Pride Has Its Fall.
Okay.
You know, in that Swami says, that Krishna and Arjuna were going on a stroll, and there was a stream going by, and then Arjuna, looking at the stream, suddenly wondered, and he said to Krishna, he said, why did you take so much trouble in your previous incarnation with all those monkeys, you know, building that stone bridge across the ocean to reach Lanka and all that, when you came as Sri Rama? And he said, if only, I'm sure you could have done it. I can build a bridge of arrows across the ocean. I'm sure you could have got that done. I don't know why you use these monkeys, you know, to build. So Krishna says, oh, is that really so? So why don't we see how strong a bridge that you are capable of building? So just across the stream, which was very small, relatively, you know, compared to the ocean, which Sri Rama had to cross, Arjuna was instructed by Krishna to build a bridge of arrows. And he builds this bridge of arrows, and Lord Krishna simply thinks of Hanuman. And Hanuman appears there, and as a monkey, and he says, Hanuman, why don't you just go and test that bridge? You know, so Hanuman just goes and places the tip of his toe on that bridge, and the whole bridge just collapses. And along with the bridge, you know, Arjuna's pride also collapses. Another instance where Swami describes about, you know, such a situation is after the Mahabharata war. We all know the scene where Krishna and Arjuna are on chariot, and Krishna says, Arjuna, now you get down first, then I will get down. And Arjuna, you know, out of his pride that he has won the war and he has achieved so much, he says, no, no, you get down first. Krishna says, no, please listen to me, you get down as I instruct you, and it's for your good. Arjuna is so much filled with pride because of his accomplishments. At that point of time, he forgets who was the doer behind the whole thing. And he says, no, no, see, you are the charioteer. It is the duty of the charioteer to get down and, you know, welcome me, you know, out of the chariot. So Krishna takes a very strong tone and says, Arjuna, get down. Okay. And listening to that, literally, you know, we know how it feels when Swami takes a strong tone and he says, hey, and you know, all of us, thoughts come to an absolute still. So I'm assuming it should be the same thing with Arjuna. So Arjuna, on listening to that strong tone of the Lord, immediately realizes that he's doing something wrong, and he just gets down. And we all know what happened. Krishna jumps off, he releases the horses first, and then jumps off the chariot, and the whole chariot goes into flame. So pride definitely, you know, though it's somebody like Arjuna who was right next to the Lord, who's known for his Sakya Bhakti, or, you know, his friendship to the Lord, even such a person, if he has pride, there's no way he's going to be close to God. It was a very strong message which Swami was giving.
You know, that's the beauty. Swami is listing out the things which can give you pride and saying that how each one of them don't hold water, you know. Swami is saying money, learning, caste, affluence, beauty, youth, position, authority, and spirituality.
Wow.
And that's very interesting, because, you know, I remember a devotee sharing with me once, Swami specifically told him, of all the types of ego, the most dangerous is spiritual ego.
Oh, it's beautiful that Prem mentions this. I interacted with one other devotee of Bhagwan who shared a very profound experience of his in his meditation. When he was meditating one day, he had you know, reached some level of spiritual attainment, and in the process, he started you know, unconsciously looking at people as, you know, oh, okay, so he's not so evolved, so I need to help him. In a very positive way, in the sense of helping, but nevertheless, he called it the subtle ego, which comes up for any spiritual sadhaka, which is the most dangerous thing. And he said, one day, the Lord decided to teach him a lesson on this regard. So he was in his meditation, and he saw Bhagwan appear before him, and in his meditation, and you know, with lot of you know, joy and some kind of pride, he asked Bhagwan in his meditation. He said, Swami, who am I in your creation? You know, and he said that Swami actually showed him a huge black dark screen, and everything was pitch dark in that, and there was a tiny dot which was sparkling, which was twinkling, you know, And so he said, oh, so in the vastness of your creation, am I this tiny star? You know, Swami said, no, no, no. This is the sun that you see every morning. You know. So he said that very moment, his ego was completely shattered. That subtle ego was completely shattered. And he began to weep in his vision. And then he told Swami, Swami, I am nothing, I am nothing, I am nothing. And as he was weeping genuinely with the realization that he is nothing, he said the whole screen transformed into bright white light. The entire darkness which was supposed to show the cosmos, transformed into a bright white light. And Swami then said, now you are this.
It's very beautiful because, you know, even as you're narrating that, many times when you do something, you know, you take up some spiritual activity, you always have that back of your mind that someday Swami will come and applaud you for that. Swami will say, good boy, you know, boy with a very pure mind. Something like that, you feel that, you know, that will make you feel very nice. But sometimes I used to sit and reflect, you know, the most a statement which can give you maximum pride is Swami coming and tell you, you're God like me. And that Swami tells every day. But we don't take the pride which comes out of that. We want the pride which comes out of the little things which Swami says that, you know, you're a good boy. You know, you're a very straightforward boy. You try very hard. I used to think that if we could connect our pride only with that statement that Swami makes. And the beautiful thing is, as that very famous and beautiful quotation goes, that it says that remember that you're unique. But at the same time, remember that everybody is as unique as you are. And, you know, think that you are God, but think that everybody else around you is as much divine as you are. And, you know, the two tools which Swami gives to get over that pride is also very beautiful. Swami saying, first of all, you're behaving like a frog in the well. Yes. Look around, see that whatever you have achieved, there are thousands who have achieved much more than you. You know, that's a way of quelling that pride. And that's what Swami is saying here. And the other thing is the transient nature of what you're proud of. If it is wealth you're proud of, it can go any moment. If it's youth, it's definitely going. It's going even as you're being proud about it. And every one of these things is transient. And that should itself give you a means of overcoming this pride.
I mean, that example which Swami gives to show that innate unity in everybody, says, take a pot with many holes and put it on top of a candle. How beautiful it is. I mean, the light comes equally through all the holes from the pot.
That is the diversity.
That's the diversity. You think there are so many different lights, but then you just remove the pot, there is one light.
In fact, the Upanishads also give this analogy of, you know, if you imagine 1,000 pots filled with oil or water, and there is the sun on top. If you peep into each of those pots, you will see the 1,000 pots reflecting the sun. But in truth, there is only one sun, which is reflected in all the 1,000 pots.
And you know, going back to this thing of Swami saying, what is that cloth which covers the mirror, the Arshad Vargas? Forget about you wanting to realize, forget about seeing divinity or your reality. Even if you look at it in a mundane sense, these are the things which actually skew our decision making.
Correct.
More than anything else, what inhibits us from making the right decision is all these things. When you're strongly attached to something, when you're strongly disturbed about something, when you're jealous about somebody, these are the times when you take the most wrong decisions in life.
Anger. Oh, anger. Swami has spoken a lot about anger.
And that's what Swami says, that, you know, never make a decision out of anger, out of jealousy, out of strong attachment. And that is why, in fact, you know, in Mahabharata, they said the best decision maker was actually Yudhishthira. Because he was never disturbed by any of these things. And that's why even the enemies would come and ask him for advice, because they knew that he will give the right advice. Because he was never disturbed by any of these Arshad Vargas, as Swami was describing.
Absolutely steady and...
Right.
You think we should go on to the next?
Yes, I think, because Swami has come to the point of how the concept of Mamakara and Ahankara is coming in. I think Swami will be continuing with that analogy of the pot with nine holes. Okay. So we'll go to that next clip of that discourse.
Vidyarthulara, ee manasulaku manasu buddhi chittamu ahankaramu ee naligintu yokka cherikane antakaranam ayipoyindi.
His mind, intelligence, chitta and ego have become antakkarana.
Aithe, ee antakkarana ante em artham?
What is the meaning of antakkarana?
Karanam anaga panimutlu, indriyamulu.
Karanam means instruments.
Antakkarana anaga lopali indriyamulu.
That means inner instruments.
Antakkarana ante adi emito ani aneka rakamuluga vedantanni manam varnistuntam.
There is no need for mistaking that to be anything great. It is only inner.
Kannulu bayata chustunnayi.
Eyes are looking.
Chevulu bayata vintunnayi.
Ears are hearing outside.
Noru bayata maatladutundadi.
Mouth is
chetulu bayata panulu chestunnayi.
Hands are performing.
Chevulu bayata vasane chustundadi.
The nose is smelling things outside of itself.
Kaani veetikannitiki konni roopamlu untunnayi.
There are different forms for them.
Manasuku no form, no rupam.
Mind does not have any form at all.
Buddhiki rupam ledu.
Intelligence also doesn't have
chittam
a form.
Chittamulaku rupam ledu.
Chittam also doesn't have a form.
Ahankaramulaku rupam ledu.
Ego does not have a form.
Ee rupamu lenatuvanti yokka antakaramulu yokka sammilitamainatuvanti swaroopame ini yokka swaroopamu.
The real form is this formless thing which is associated with all these four aspects of mind.
Deeniki nalugu vidhamulainatuvanti doshamulu untunnayi.
There are four types of defects associated with
Nokati Bhranti.
One is Bhranti, illusion.
Rendavadi Pramadamu.
The second one is Pramadamu.
Moodavadi Karana Pathana. Karana Pathana.
Karana Pahana is the third one.
Inka Nalugavadi.
Fourth one is
Vipralipsa ani Nalugavadi.
Vipralipsa.
విప్రలిప్స ఈ నాలుగింటి యొక్క దోషములే ఈ అంతఃకరణను మాలిన్యపరుస్తుంటున్నాయి.
ఇట్ ఇస్ దీస్ ఫోర్ డిఫెక్ట్స్ విచ్ ఆర్ డర్టింగ్ ది అంతఃకరణ.
మొట్టమొదటిది భ్రాంతి.
ద ఫస్ట్ వన్ ఇస్ భ్రాంతి.
ఇది భ్రమ.
దిస్ ఈస్ ఎన్ ఇల్యూజన్.
ఎట్టిది ఈ భ్రమ?
వాట్ టైప్ ఆఫ్ ఇల్యూజన్ ఇస్ ఇట్?
త్రాడును చూచి పామనుకోవటము, పామును చూచి త్రాడనుకోవటము.
కన్సిడరింగ్ రోప్ యాజ్ a snake and snake
nityamu chuchi anityanga bhavinchatamu, anityanni chuchi nityanga viswasinchatamu.
Believing permanent things as impermanent and impermanent things.
Ee vidhamainatuvanti bhrama cheta pramadam sambhavistundadi. Rendavadi dosham.
On account of this illusion one gets into danger, the second one pramadam comes.
Idi traadanukoni paamunu pattukunte pramadam kaaka mari em ayipothundi?
If one steps on a snake thinking that it is a rope, would it not be dangerous?
ee naati manavudandakudalu dekhame satyamu ani viswasistunnadu.
Today's man is believing his body as true.
Kaadu kaadu kaadu,
certainly not.
Idi kevalam oka neeti buduga vantidi.
Body is a water bubble.
Eppudu ekkado ee rakamgano idi nippulo padipothundi.
When, where and how we do not know. This water bubble
kaadu,
this is not truth.
ఇది కేవలము అస్థపంజరం.
దిస్ ఈజ్ ఏ కేజ్ ఆఫ్ బోన్స్.
మలమూత్ర దుర్గంధ మాంసరక్తమే కాని పురుగు జవ్వాజీలు పుట్టబోవు.
దిస్ ఈజ్ ఫుల్ ఆఫ్ డర్టీ థింగ్స్ రాదర్ దాన్ ఇట్ డజంట్ ఎమినేట్ పర్ఫ్యూమ్స్.
కనుక ఈ విధమైనటువంటి దేహం సత్యమనుకోని ఆ దేహాన్ని సరైన రీతిలో వినియోగించేటువంటి ఆ శక్తిని మనం విస్మరిస్తున్నాం.
Considering such an impermanent body as permanent, we are not putting that to proper use.
Vidyarthulara okkadanni meer chakkaga gurtinchali.
Students recognize and realize one thing.
Kannulu unnai, chevulu unnai, noru undi, mukku undi, anni untunnai. Ive chustunnayi, ive vintunnayi, ive chestunnayi aneetundi vishwasame manaku untunte maraninchina tarvata same eyes, same ears, same nose, same tongue ఉంటుందది. ఎందుకు మాట్లాడటం లేదు? ఎందుకు చూడటం లేదు? ఎందుకు వినటం లేదు?
We have eyes, ears, nose, tongue and we think that they are doing the functions. But if that is really so, after death also they must be performing the functions. They don't do it.
బాడీని నీవైపోతే నీవు అప్పుడు ఎందుకు చూడటానికి వీలు కాకుండా ఉంది?
If you are the eyes,
అని చూపించేటువంటి ఒక శక్తి అక్కడ లేదు.
There is no power which is making the eyes see.
They have the pet the torch light vantidi.
The body may be compared to a big torch light.
Kannulu bulb tu vantivi.
Eyes are bulbs.
కేవలము బుద్ధి స్విచ్ వంటిది.
ఇంటెలిజెన్స్ ఇస్ స్విచ్.
కొత్త టార్చి, కొత్త బల్బు స్విచ్ ఆన్ లో ఉంది, కానీ లైట్ రావటం లేదు. కారణం ఏమిటి?
న్యూ బల్బ్, న్యూ టార్చ్, స్విచ్ ఇస్ ఆన్ బట్ యు ఆర్ నాట్ గెటింగ్ ద లైట్. వై?
సెల్స్ లేదు అక్కడ.
దేర్ ఆర్ నో సెల్స్ ఇన్ సైడ్ ద టార్చ్.
కనుక ఆ సెల్స్ లేకపోవటం చేతనే లైట్ మనకు రావటం లేదు.
As there are no cells inside, you are not getting the light.
కనుకనే ఆ సెల్స్ మన బ్లడ్ సెల్స్ అంతా కూడాను ఒక్కొక్క దివ్యమైన శక్తితో కూడినటువంటివి.
Those cells are our blood cells.
కానీ సెల్స్ ఉన్నాయి, అవి ఒక్కొక్కతూరి చాలా ఇదైపోతుంటాయి, మారిపోతుంటాయి, దాని శక్తి కూలిపోతుంటాయి.
There may be cells, but without that power, the power might have declined.
అది ఇందులో దైవత్వమే.
And that power is divine power.
కనుకనే ఆ దివ్యమైనటువంటిది ఈ శరీరంలో ఉండినంత వరకు శరీరం అనేక రకమైనటువంటి పనులను ఆచరిస్తుంటాయి.
As long as there is the divine power in the physical body, it performs various functions.
కనుక ఇది సత్యమని మనం భావించి కేవలము ప్రమాదము గురి అయిపోతున్నాం.
Do not identify yourself with this physical body as truth and your facing all dangers.
నమ్మినటువంటి వారిని నమ్మకుండా నమ్మరానటువంటి వారిని నమ్ముతున్నాం.
People in whom you should have faith, you are not having. But you are believing things in which you should not have faith.
Nadi, Navaru, anukunnatunte varanta enta kaalam undagalu.
For how long can you have those people
ఎవరికి ఎవరు
as yours? Who is for whom?
నిన్ను అనేక రకములుగా పెంచి పెద్ద చేసినటువంటి యొక్క తల్లిదండ్రులు నీవారనుకుంటావా? ఉండినంత వరకు నీవు గౌరవించవలసిందే, వారి సేవలు చేయవలసిందే, వారిని సంతృప్తి పరచవలసిందే. ఇది నీ కర్తవ్య ధర్మమే.
Parents who have brought you up and given you everything, do you think that they are yours? Yes, as long as they are alive, you will have to take care of them and discharge
them. Everyone
has his own duty.
While coming
into this world, no one carries with him a piece of
clothes.
While leaving the world, no one leaves even the address to where he
is going.
What is the type of relationship that
అయితే ఇలాంటిదాన్ని సత్యం అనుకుంటున్నాము? ఇది సత్యం కాదు, మిథ్యం.
బట్ వీఆర్ థింకింగ్ దిస్ వరల్డ్ ఆస్ ట్రూత్. ఇట్ ఈస్ నాట్ ట్రూత్.
ఒక వేదాంతి నా దగ్గరకు వచ్చాడు.
వన్ ఫిలాసఫర్ కేమ్ టు మీ.
స్వామి, బ్రహ్మ సత్యం జగత్ మిథ్య అని శంకరాచార్యులు వారు చెప్పారు కదా.
హీ సెడ్, వెల్ శంకరాచార్య హాస్ డిక్లేర్డ్ బ్రహ్మ ఈజ్ ట్రూత్ అండ్ జగత్ ఈజ్ మిథ్య.
ప్రత్యక్షంగా కనిపిస్తుండాలి.
Well, I have been able to see this world.
ప్రత్యక్షంగా అనుభవిస్తున్నాము.
I am enjoying this world.
జాగ్రత్తతో సుషుప్తియందు జీవిస్తున్నాము.
In the waking dream and deep sleep state, I am living.
ఇది మిథ్యమని ఎట్టవుతుంది?
How can I call this mithya, Swami?
అని ప్రశ్నించాడు.
He questioned me like that.
నాయన, ప్రపంచం మిథ్య అనేటువంటి ప్రపంచానికి వదిలిపెట్టు, అది దానికి చూసుకుంటుంది. నీవు మొట్టమొదటి నీవు సత్యమా మిథ్యమా నీవు కనుక్కోమన్నాను.
Let the world judge for itself whether it is mithya or satya. Try to find out for yourself whether you are truth or
mithya. But evaniki vaadu satyama mithyama ani gurtinchukunte prapancham yokka vishayam gurtinchukunna vaadu avtadu.
If each one can realize whether he is truth or mithya, the world will
be not vidyarthulu kodanu ante.
Today students are similar.
Tana tattvam emito tanu gurtinchadaniki prayatninchatam ledu.
He is not trying to find out what his reality is.
Videshamulu yokka vishayalanta kodanu vinalani korutaru.
He is aspiring to know all about the world.
ఆ దేశంలో ఏం జరుగుతుందా, ఈ దేశంలో ఏం జరుగుతుందా, ఈ దేశం అన్ని పరదేశముల యొక్క విషయాన్ని చూస్తున్నా, నీ దేశంలో ఏం జరుగుతుందా, అది మొట్టమొదటి నేను గుర్తించడానికి ప్రయత్నిస్తున్నావా?
యు ఆర్ ట్రైంగ్ టు ఫైండ్ అవుట్ వాట్ ఈస్ హ్యాపెనింగ్ ఇన్ దిస్ కంట్రీ, ఇన్ దట్ కంట్రీ, బట్ ఆర్ యు ట్రైంగ్ టు నో వాట్ ఈస్ హ్యాపెనింగ్ ఇన్ యువర్ ఓన్ బాడీ?
బయట నుంచి వచ్చేటువంటి న్యూస్ ను మాత్రమే నీవు రిసీవ్ చేసుకుంటున్నావు, నీ నుంచి వచ్చేటువంటి న్యూస్ నువ్వు ఏమాత్రం యోచన చేయటం లేదు.
యు ఆర్ ఓన్లీ థింకింగ్ ఆఫ్ ది న్యూస్ ఎక్స్టర్నలీ కమింగ్ టు యూ, బట్ యు ఆర్ నాట్ ట్రైంగ్ టు కేర్ ఫర్ ది న్యూస్ విచ్ ఇస్ ఎమినేటింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ యూ విత్ ఇన్.
కనుక మొట్టమొదటి నిన్ను నీవు గుర్తించుకో.
ట్రై టు ఫైండ్ అవుట్
చక్కపరచుకో.
Try to rectify yourself.
ఆ తర్వాత ఇతరులను చక్కబెచ్చడానికి ప్రయత్నించు.
Then you can try to mend others.
ఇది మొట్టమొదటి విద్యార్థులు గుర్తించవలసినటువంటి విషయం.
This is the first thing that the student should realize.
కనుకనే భ్రమచేత ప్రమాదం సంభవిస్తుండాలి.
On account of illusion, dangers come.
I think there is no running away from inquiry. There is no, you have to inquire who you really are. Right. Finally it comes back to that.
Goes back to that statement of Socrates, a life unexamined is not a life at all.
Okay.
You have to look within and you have to find out for the answers. And you know, that's the strong message Swami ends this clip with.
Mm.
Because we are all the time finding, trying to resolve the mysteries outside.
Mm.
But you know, when your home is not in order and you not resolve the main mystery. But before that, Swami talks about the four types of impurities in the antakarna.
Correct.
The four types of antakarna, first of all, the manas, buddhi, chitta, ankara, and then the four impurities of the antakarna, and how one leads to the other. I think maybe the two others might follow in the clips later in the discourse. But Swami, I think, deals with bhranti, delusion, and pramadam, and how one leads to the other.
I mean, it's almost like a textbook with syllabus. You know, Swami is unfolding one by one topic. And you start wondering, there is so much to it.
Gives you a deja vu of your class. So much passes by and you wonder whether you grasped enough to get to the next part of the lesson.
Actually, interestingly, regarding this antakarna, for a long time I was thinking that these four sections of the inner senses or antakarna, I mean, the mind is basically divided into four sections called manas, the mind, buddhi, the intellect, chitta, the storage of memories, and ahankara, ego or identification with body. I used to wonder that there are actually four chambers of the mind or something like that. You know,
I'm still wondering, I'm still thinking like that.
But Swami had clarified this in some of his discourses. Swami says that there is only one mind, it's not partitioned.
Okay.
Just that at different points of time, if we look at our mind closely, it assumes each of these roles.
Okay.
For example, Swami says that when you are cluttered with thoughts, you know, it is the manas which is operating. When you are making a decision, you know, you're deciding whether you want to buy this or not, whether you want this or not. Any kind of decision making happens through the intellect. So the buddhi aspect of the mind is functioning at that point, or mind assumes the form of buddhi at that point of time. And chitta is when you know that, you know, there's a flood of past impressions that come. As you said, you know, you start judging people or situations based on your own experiences from the past. When all those experiences start clouding the present, you know that the chitta is currently overactive. And ahankara, of course, is the eternal feeling of safety, that, you know, what will happen to me, my things. This mamakara and ahamkara is basically born out of this identification with the body. And at different points of time in our own day-to-day life, we see that the mind assumes these four forms. And in fact, Swami says, if we are able to catch the mind, you know, in the role that it is playing at that point of time, we will know how to rectify that particular role.
Very beautiful.
Right. I think, in fact, you know, the physicists will agree with you, because they know when they observe a system, it immediately stops behaving like it used to behave before.
Yeah.
I think that's
principle of unsaid.
Right. You know, when you start observing the mind, automatically there's a bit of orderliness. The only thing is, it's difficult to hold on to that state of observance for long, and that's the catch in it. But, you know, going back to this thing of Swami saying the delusion, the first thing is you associate yourself with the wrong thing, and then that leads to the fear, the pramadam, you know, the
danger.
The danger comes out of the wrong association. And it again goes back to that pride aspect which Swami was telling, that, you know, you think you claim yourself to be greater than somebody else, more talented than somebody else. And that's the concept of ahankara, actually. We've spoken about this before. They say that ahankara, or the feeling of I, comes from that state of asmita. It seems that is the first state, where I am. Asmi means I am. So asmita is that I amness. So that is the first stage of ahankara, but that's not very dangerous. The next stage of ahankara is you think that I am this body, or I am talented, I am rich, I am poor. Whatever, you relate yourself with one particular aspect of your being. That becomes ahankara. Even that is also okay and manageable, but the most dangerous is malina ahankara. When you say, I am richer than him, I am more talented than him, I am more pure than him, I am more spiritually advanced than him. When that comparison comes, it becomes malina, it becomes impure, and that's the most dangerous. And that's the ahankara we actually talk about. Whenever we refer to as, you know, he's very egoistic, that's the ahankara we talk about. That's what he said.
Swami mentions here about bhranti. And the delusion aspect of seeing things not as they are, to see them otherwise. Swami gives a very beautiful analogy, how out of ahankar and mamakar this bhranti is born. Swami says that suppose, what car do you like? Prem, what car do you like best?
Okay, let's just pick one. Audi?
Audi? Okay, fine. So, Audi A6 is your car, right? And suppose your neighbor buys that car and it's parked right there, you know, every day in front of your house. So, how would you feel about it? Means, Swami says, goes on to explain that and says that, see, if the objects in the world are the source of your happiness, then... you know, for you to see that Audi car every day, or to touch it and feel it, or maybe
should
your friend
give you the joy.
Yeah, should itself fill you with bliss and joy, isn't it? Mm. Because it's exuding happiness. but unfortunately, is that the case? I don't think so, isn't it? Most of the people find that unless they actually own that object, it is the sense of possession of the object that apparently gives them some kind of happiness, and it is not really the object. Because there is no object in the world which comes with an expiry date for happiness. Says, okay, so happiness from this product expires after 1 year and 2 months and so on. So it doesn't happen, right? Swami says it is not really the object, but you have placed your happiness in the sense of possession of the object. So the moment you own the Audi car, probably you will feel happy about it, isn't it? So Swami says that this kind of a misplaced value to the world is the bhranti. The Audi car does not exude happiness, but you have placed your happiness in the Audi car.
Correct.
Right. And in fact, that's what Swami says. And that's the thing with which Swami starts, the difference between antakarna and the other senses. The other ones cannot see what is inside. The eye can only see what is outside. The nose can only smell what is outside. The ear can only listen to what is outside. But the only thing which can look within and reflect are the antakarnas. Yeah. And so if they are also used for going outside, then you are misusing the instruments which are meant actually for going within. And that's when the joy has to be searched for within, not in the objects outside. And going to that last part of the discourse, Swami is talking about how when the spirit goes out, though everything is still there intact, the senses which you...
Correct.
Give so much value to, it is still there. The nose is there, the eyes are there. So Swami is saying the corpse still has all those instruments, but why is it not functioning like before? And you know, that's the mystery. I think even science, till today, they're not really able to tell when actually life enters that fetus. No, you never know, because it's still growing, you know, from that single cell state till the state it becomes an embryo ready to become a fetus. It's growing, but they're not sure whether it has already got the life that once the fertilization happens, is it already alive, or is it alive only after the heart starts beating, which is I think only the third week or something like that.
Correct.
So you never know when life enters, and in fact I don't think anybody knows when life leaves as well. And that's one of the greatest mysteries of God. And I think that's a thing which Swami mentioned when he spoke about the body. Just because this body grows, it does not mean it's not inert. He said, even if you were to dump garbage in a dustbin, the heap of garbage grows. It doesn't mean that is having life.
That is not, that is jada.
Right.
Jada, he says. Then coming to the last portion where he says, change your drishti. So the Vedantin asks, student asks Swami, the world is really unreal, but I see it and I perceive it and I experience it. How do I believe it's unreal?
That is, Shankaracharya had said that Brahma Satyam Jagannitya.
So then Swami says, first know who you are, because everything is in the vision. So it's not the fault with Srishti, it's with Drishti.
In fact, this is a very interesting point, because most of rational thinking people would ask this question, how can you say Jagan Mithya? Means the world is Mithya or illusion. When it's so real to me, everything, if I get hurt, it's real. I mean, when I experience in the world, it's real. Everything around me is real. Right now we are all speaking, it's all real. So how can you say Jagan Mithya? And what is this Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya? Swami explains it so beautifully. He says, see, the concept of Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya is from your state of perception, as you beautifully put it, drishti, or your state of perception. Jagan Mithya, to understand this, we need to understand the meaning of what is Mithya, and Brahma Satyam, we need to understand the meaning of the word Satyam. We know what is Brahman and we know what is Jagat, right? Brahman is the Atman, or the Divine, and Jagat is the world that we see around us. So how is Jagan Mithya? Swami says that Sat or Satyam is that which does not change with three periods of time.
Trikala Badyam.
Yeah, which means in the past, present and the future, truth remains the same. It doesn't change with three periods of time. So if anybody were to experience truth, whether it was 10,000 years back, whether it was today, or whether it was 10,000 years hence from now, the truth they would experience is exactly the same. That is why you see, even though on the time frame, the Vedic Rishis, the great prophet Muhammad and Jesus are all placed in different time frames in the history, but we see all of them have described that divine aspect as something close to Koti Surya Samaprabha, or the splendor of 1,000 suns. Right? So which means, whatever be the time, whether it's in the past, it's in the present or in the future, the experience of truth will not change. It is absolutely the same. That is why the experience of Brahman is Sat, or that which does not change with three periods of time. So it is Brahma Satyam. Now let's look at Jagan Mithya. Anybody who perceives the world, can you think of two people who perceive the world exactly the same way?
Impossible.
Forget about past, present and future. In the present itself, are there two people, at least twins, you know, who look at the world in exactly the same way? It's impossible, because their inner software, you know, Swami says that the eyes and the nose and all these indriyas, the senses, are all the instruments. And they've got a software which is this antakarna, the chitta and the buddhi and the manas and ahankara. This software is different and exclusive for every single individual. So which means what? The software with which the instruments operate in perceiving the world is different for everybody. There is difference in that. So because of that difference, no two individual, even identical twins, do not look at the world in the same way. Why so much? Think about ourselves. From childhood till today, hasn't our perception of the world constantly changed? With new and new information that we have had, new and new knowledge that we have gained, our perception of the world has been constantly in a state of flux, in a state of change. So that which looks real, which has some amount of reality, yet it is not Sat, means it doesn't remain the same in three periods of time. It keeps changing. But it has some amount of reality. Swami says that is what is called as Sada Sat. You know, and Swami says that Sada Sat, that is truth and untruth, is what is Mithya, or this delusionary aspect. Our perception of the world continuously changes. 5 minutes before somebody had the first darshan of Bhagwan, he saw the world in one way.
Correct.
5 seconds after he had the first sparshan of Bhagwan, his perception of the world changes. Isn't it? So Jagan Mithya, because the way world is what it is, but we will never know that. Only way to know that, Swami says, is to know yourself.
I think I'd like to connect it with what Swami said about, you know, love is something which can get you past these vikshepa, avarna and all these things. You know, if you look at it, if you want to compare the Jagan Mithya, how do you say that world is unreal? The other unreal thing which we know is a dream state. How do we know a dream state is unreal? Because we go in and come out of it. You know, it's a thing which is very short in time span. So we know that something which comes and goes cannot be real. Sure. That's why we say a dream is not real, because we are coming out of it. So there's somebody who has experienced the state we are in as a dream. And they are saying that just like how dream is unreal for you, for this life is unreal for me. And when you look at somebody like Swami, and you know, when you have love for Swami, love gives faith. And that faith, when you place it on somebody, when he says that the world you're living in is unreal, you know, you don't even have to go through all these things and sit and inquire with you. You just accept it. He said, okay, that is the truth. I just need to come to that understanding with effort. I think that's when Swami says that love can actually give you everything if you have love in God and live in love. So maybe we'll end that this discourse and the discussion with that, and with a request to Sai Gurudev that he joins us next week too.
Oh,
and
it's my pleasure.
And with a prayer to Swami to bless us with more such opportunities, because it is indeed one of the most choicest blessings that we have to listen to these discourses and to have the time and to have the mind frame to sit and listen to these discourses. We thank Swami for that and offer our most humble pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet. In a short while from now, you'll be joined by Brother Bishu for the last segment of the day, Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. This is Prem from Team Radio Sai. With me is Sai Prakash and our guest, Sai Giridhar, thanking you for joining us on Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam.